This is Disabled Girls Who Lift. We are reclaiming what's rightfully ours one podcast at a time. It's Mary Beth, Chloe, and Marcia bringing you the thoughts and unpopular topics to get you out of that ableist comfort zone. Hey folks, welcome to another episode of Disabled Girls Who Lift. Let's talk some shit about that new USCPL stuff. Again, I'm Marcia. I am in South Florida on Seminole land. We have Crescenda back.
Hi.
Welcome back, BB.
And Mary Beth will introduce our new guest.
Yeah. Hey, all. It's Mary Beth over in Northern California, also sitting on Ohlone land with Crescenda, one of my very few Pacific Standard Time friends over here at Disabled Girls. And we've got such an amazing guest joining us today. I'm super excited for Val Zaden Schul to join us over from Indiana, I think also in Eastern time, but they are a fifth year PhD candidate at Purdue University studying agriculture and bioengineering. They've been powerlifting, right? Consistently strength training during grad school. And I know you've volunteered and actually competed at Pull for Pride, which is a pretty dope competition all throughout the nation. And then also participate in Women's Strength Coalition, which we absolutely love and support on this podcast and in our community. So welcome, Val. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, super happy to have you on. So, I mean, before we get into the dumpster fire of these categories, just so we can have a little background for anyone that happens to be new on this show, or you're new to us, Val, like where we've been, what we've been up to. It's like, who are we to even comment on this, right? So, Val, where have you been? You're powerlifting, you're competing, have you done federations? Where are you coming from?
Yeah, sure. So, I have been competing in powerlifting since 2016, and I've competed both in USPA as well as RPS in terms of the federations. In terms of being openly out as a trans and non-binary lifter, I've done that through RPS starting in 2019, and I've competed twice as under no gender. And the way that the federation has handled my non-binary and trans identities has been to put me in their adaptive open category, which we could get into about how that's not quite where I would like to be, but that is how they've handled the situation. Ideally, I would like to see an MX category. Of course, one that is affirming and is not in a way that USAPL has handled things, but that's how I've been competing with that federation. That's about 5 years, of competing in powerlifting.
So as it stands, RPS doesn't have like an outright trans athlete ban then?
No, it doesn't. It does have a policy on their website on how trans women and trans men can compete. However, there's no outline in terms of folks who are non-binary. And so in the future, I hope that as we continue to have these kinds of conversations that we would be able to have categories that are affirming. I know that there are folks who are identify as non-binary and feel totally comfortable competing as in women and men categories. But for me, it didn't quite fit for my gender identity and to feel affirmed. So I'm very happy that they've tried to start the conversation and how to be able to include me and to be able to continue to compete. And so I'm pretty happy that we are having these conversations, even though they're really hard conversations to have. Right. But I think that they're important conversations. And I hope that as we have more people having these conversations, that we have better policies in place so that everyone could not only feel affirmed, but feel included in the powerlifting sport and in strength training and strength spaces in general.
Yeah, in general. So I've done mostly, when I was powerlifting, it was USAPL, which is very cut and dry. It's like you're in this class, you pick man, woman, you pick your weight, and that's it. Like, if you need something adaptive, fuck off. Like, if you want trans, fuck off. Like, if you want anything outside of like this black and white little box that we created, like, you're out. And honestly, strongman is kind of pretty much the same. It's not like, you would think it would be different because it's not a drug tested sport, but it's not. So like, that makes no sense to me. I can't remember which strongman corporations have made any sort of policies regarding trans athletes, but for sure nobody has anything about MX categories. For sure nobody's even talking about non-binary. And then some of them, like Strongman Corp, have a trans ban, I think, or did they do the IOC thing? I'm not sure, but whatever they had, it doesn't make sense because, again, it's not a drug tested federation. Like, what do you,
what I'm trying to question, I mean, and you know, thankfully RPS is inclusive in some regard, but why do you think they just threw you in the adaptive open category? Was that just an easy like shortcut to, since there weren't any specific rules outlined at the moment? Like, we know that rule books can't be written overnight, but with more and more conversation with MX athletes, non-binary and trans athletes and adaptive athletes, like, we can create a solution together. But why do you think in the moment, because you've been doing it for 5 years now?
Sure. So I've competed in that division since 2019, and I've done it twice, I believe. And I'm not sure. I reached out to the president of the federation, as well as the meet director, in terms of explaining that I'm non-binary, I'm trans, I would like to compete, but the current policies in place don't take into account my gender identity. And so I reached out and was hoping to see if they would be a way to include me in the sport, because I had signed up for a meet and I was not quite ready to, in 2018, to come out. And so what I did was I signed up for my assigned gender untested. But then in 2018, that's when, you know, the USAPL trans ban happened, and it kind of gained a lot of traction in terms of the within the powerlifting community. And so I felt that I couldn't just continue to be closeted. And it was always really difficult to me to try to figure out where I could fit within the binary. And the reality is that I don't. And I just, you know, when you're going into a competition, the last thing you want to do is to be thinking about other things aside from lifting really heavy weight. And so, but like, even just trying to get to sign up, I'm like, am I willing to get misgendered? And the reality is, no, I shouldn't have to be. And so, you know, with the trans ban through USAPL, I really decided that it was important, not just to me, but, you know, to trans lifters, non-binary lifters, that I be open about my gender identity and compete as some my true gender identity and feel affirmed while doing so. But to answer your question on why, I'm not sure. I was essentially told, this is how you'll compete. And I was like, okay, that's not ideal, but it's a start. And I was hoping that as more non-binary lifters who don't feel like they are affirmed in those in their gender categories that are currently in place, maybe more policy will be put into place that allows folks to have an MX category that would let people be affirmed in these strength space.
Yeah. Spaces. So before we talk about why that category in USAPL is the opposite of what you just explained, I do want to start it because we're not going to assume that everybody knows what we're talking about. Like, what does MX even mean? What do you mean affirmed? What do you mean your gender identity? Like, explain it to me like I'm five. Like, I just came off the street. I've never heard of these things. Why do you care about this? Like, what does this mean?
Sure. So the MX category, the best way to describe it would be that it would be a gender neutral category. Honestly, I think that there are aspects that if you want to compete in an MX category, regardless of your assigned gender at birth, right? So when everyone is born, they get assigned a gender, right? Male, female. And so I think that if you'd like to compete in the MX category, even if you're not trans and you're cis, which means that you identify as your assigned gender at birth, you should be able to compete in the MX category because gender is complex, maybe, right? And mm-hmm. and there's a lot of identities that people can have. And so this is kind of like a gender neutral category that people can feel affirmed, which means that they don't feel like they're being either misgendered or misrepresented in their own identity. That being said, there's also, right, the binary categories of man and woman or female and male in sports. And so there are folks who are trans and they're binary, which means that they identify as men and as women. And so, and they are men and women. And so they feel affirmed when they compete in the category that aligns with their gender. So for people who are outside of those categories, right, those people could be used in an umbrella term of non-binary. And there's many identities within that. And if you are interested in having a space that is affirming, you could have binary categories, and you can also have a gender neutral category that kind of captures that non-binary umbrella. That being said, there are non-binary people who, which is why I'm indicating that it may be complicated, who feel like they are non-binary, but still would like to either present themselves as their assigned gender at birth or a certain gender within the binary, and that doesn't invalidate them. It just means that that is how they feel that, right, most comfortable in the world. And so there's still non-binary folks who compete within the binary, and that's okay too. And I think that it's important that folks who don't feel affirmed within the binary do have that space to be able to compete, because, right, when it comes to competition day, I feel like that shouldn't even be on your mind, right? Like, that's not on the mind of cis folks. That's not on the mind of able-bodied folks. Like, they're just there to compete. And when people from that are not, you know, cis, who are not able-bodied, come into the arena, then, and the federation or the sport isn't taking into account accessibility, it just causes so many external factors that it's not just about, right, lifting anymore. It's like,
yeah, you won't even show up at that point. You're like, you know what? Fuck it. Never mind. Yeah.
There's so many obstacles, right? Like, yeah, before even getting to the platform, that folks don't take into account when it comes to this, because, like, you know, even signing up, it's like when you may get like a membership form or a meet form, and right away there's like an assumption, right, that, like, one, you're cis, and two, you're able-bodied, so, like, so now you have to go reach out to either the meet director, the mm-hmm. president, and let them know that, like, I am interested in competing, rather than having these things already thought of beforehand, so then that way folks don't feel like they need to do that extra work, because honestly they shouldn't have to.
Yeah, like, we just exist, and I'd like to exist here also. Hello. Like, it's not that simple. You really exactly. you have to dig and try to fight your way in, and that may or may not work out, which is yeah.
And there's just, I mean, people just don't realize that there's a spectrum to gender, sexuality, you know, the autism spectrum, just disabilities in general, even multiracial identities. Like, there is no binary. Fuck the binary, first of all.
But I will always repeat what Ilya said. We are obsessed with the binary. It's this or that. Like, get over it.
Yeah. And I mean, I want to thank you too for sharing that with us, because yes, it's something that we as adaptive or disabled athletes just are so far too familiar with, but it's not fucking fair. We shouldn't have to decide on whether, like, we have to disclose this information, first of all, to some stranger meet director or president, even though we haven't even come out to our parents or family members about that yet, you know, just to be able to compete in a sport that you've been training 5, 10 plus years for, you just want a spot on stage.
Yeah, you just want to be able to show up.
Yeah, and in that primary application, like, you don't feel affirmed, you don't feel like welcomed in the sport, period. And then you go on to have more conversations, and we'll talk about that a little, you know, especially with USAPL, especially with Strongman Corps and all these other federations that are just not listening to us. Like, we're telling you how to write the fucking rule book because a million of us exist in this country, let alone the world.
They're just and like, you're nah, still not listening. They're just like, nah, we got this. Are you kidding me? Like,
I've literally offered to write the rule book and run the rule book for an adaptive division for strongman, and still they're like falling asleep at the wheel. And it's baffling to me. Like, we have all these athletes literally willing to do the work for them because we want to be included so badly. And
they're just like,
I don't understand it.
Nah, that's okay. It doesn't affect me personally. So, like, I'm okay. Like, that's pretty much like,
I just think tell you hit me the that. Nail on the head right
like,
there.
Honestly, like, if me personally. I wish they'd just be honest. Like, just be honest. Just be honest. Don't say that we're bad mouthing you. Don't say we're trying to make you look bad. Don't say, oh, well, talk to your local meet direct. Like, no, just be honest. It doesn't affect me personally. I don't really care. Like if somebody told me that,
I would respect that so much more if they just said that.
Like, honestly. Oh my gosh. But so these USAPL categories, which they just announced, right? Like, there was no, hey, open forum, we're thinking about this thing. They were just like, boom, this is it. And they decided that they would make 4 new categories, right? I'm going to start with the one that I think is the funniest one, Raw with Raps. Because they are clearly salty that all these other federations are making money with this category, so they added it. Like, that's... Like, I think that's the funniest one.
I'm so confused by that one, because that's like, I mean, I don't want to go completely NC-17, but are you calling it Raw with Raps by having sex with a condom on and calling it Raw? Like, it just does not make any sense.
So other federations have been doing this. It's been a thing. Like, it's a thing, Crescenda. It is.
USPA.
You show up, like, everything is totally normal, except you have knee wraps.
Yeah, because with
knee wraps. People... I don't think it makes that big of a difference.
Oh, you gotta go hard on the knee wraps. You have to get, like, the stiff things, like, like, your legs have to be cut off of blood flow, and then you get, like, I don't know how much people... Chloe's not on here. She's the one that could tell how much she gets out of the wraps. I'm not sure how much, but it's not... It's like...
Chloe, we need you.
It's like the kiddie pool of equipped lifting, right? Like, you don't really want to go all the way in, but, like, you want to get wet a little bit.
No, that's so true. I've competed with wraps like twice just for the squat. But you don't want to wear the full suit in the bin or the deadlift. Like, that's uncomfortable as fuck.
Well, maybe it's just because my squat sucks.
But it's just like the fact that you introduced this category along with all the other ones to try to, like, blend it all together. Like, hey, y'all, we're making some change. It's 2021. Fuck you.
You're not, though. And the funny, okay, so before we talk about the other ones, one last thing. So I actually read through some of the shit they posted. So they made this new category to be hip and with it, right? But there's nowhere for these Raw with Rap lifters to go. Like, if it happens to be a division at your local meet, cool. But there's no national level for you. There's no, like, Raw Nationals you can't go to because you're not Raw. Like, there's nothing set up for it. Equip Nationals you could go to, but everybody else there is going to have the full suit on.
Well, and I guess I'm a little confused as to why they're making this many concessions for people who want to have this non-binary way of lifting for equipment, but they can't do it for literally the rest of the planet.
That's a good point.
Like, how do they understand that aspect of it? But not when it comes to gender or ability or literally anything else.
I'm just going to say, as someone who competes with raps, I love the non-binary perspective of lifting, because it's true. It's like
it's the spectrum of equipped lifting.
I was so baffled by it, because I was like, so you understand a spectrum, but you do not want to understand a spectrum.
Oh my, that's intriguing. All right, so the other category they made is Parabench, which I'm confused about, because as far as I knew, if you showed up to USAPL and wanted to bench, like, what, you can't just bench?
The Parabench, partially, when you lift for Paralympics, you actually, your legs get strapped down. So I'm guessing that's probably part of it, is when you're parabenching, you're getting strapped down to the actual bench.
But I've seen them allow that before.
Yeah, I've seen people do that already. That's why, I guess that's
But now it's official.
Now it's on paper.
Right, but okay, but does this mean that Paralympic powerlifters are not allowed to compete in the open if they wanted to? That's the real question for all of these categories.
Yeah.
Do they have to compete in Parabench only, or can they also compete in open? Same way a junior lifter can also compete in the open.
But and then the also hopefully the other thing,
they'd allow that.
They have to let you into the Parabench. Like you have to meet the required, like you can't just, like Val said, you can't just open the application, click Parabench please. Like, no, they have to say, what's your impairment? Okay, petition for this waiver. Okay, we're gonna allow you to be in, like,
yeah. And what's funny is they don't understand this idea of, like, intersectionality, because it also says that you can compete in the Parabench if you have, like, one or more of the, like, listed physical impairments, but you have to compete in the male and female categories. So you can't be, like, you can't be disabled and trans or non-binary.
It's only one thing. Pick one. Apparently.
Well, and that kind of jumps off of the whole idea of the problems with, like, disabled strongman and everything, of who is making that ultimate determination of if you actually qualify for, like, Parabench or anything. Like, do I get a note from my doctor and you take that as okay? Because even Paralympics doesn't allow that. You have to jump through hoops, and with disabled strongman, they tell you, fuck you, I know better because I'm an old white dude who's been in the sport. So it's like,
no sense. Like, who's the gatekeeping? It really should be like, honestly, I don't understand, because Black and brown people have figured this out for the longest. Like, we out here, we got sliding scales. Like, we have all these things that are like, hey, if you identify as this, click that. And, like, that's it. Like, it should really be that simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand. You're right. Like, why are you deciding for me? Why are you giving me, first of all, you don't even know all the impairments that exist. How'd you come up with a list?
Well, not only there's that, but then they don't have representatives in these categories at all within their federation. Like,
right.
They don't have anyone managing, and who are experts in managing these categories. You've seen it for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
Their list seems to be based off of the Paralympics.
For the Parabench.
For the most part. Yeah, and
so why would somebody choose? Itself
is so problematic.
Okay, but why would somebody choose? All right, you guys want to make a Parabench because you're inclusive, but why would somebody say, okay, I'm going to do USAPL if you just copied what already exists? Why wouldn't they just go? That's the part where I'm so lost on this.
Well, because they figured those standards are pretty good. This is what Disabled Strongman did too, is they applied these standards to me, without having the doctors in place to actually test those standards, and without actually applying the standards to the rest of the athletes in the field. And so they just basically copied and pasted the rules without having the actual network in order and without understanding what the rules are, let alone even asking the fucking community what they think about it.
Yeah, I don't get
it. But they were like, look, good enough. We did it.
I'm so lost. Yeah. And there's levels to it, right? Like, who said that? We're not even saying that we like the rules that exist for Paralympics, right? We're not even saying that. I'm just like, if it exists already, you just copied pasted it. Why wouldn't I just lift in the Paralympics? Like, why do I need to lift for USAPL to do Parabench?
Well, because the Paralympics take that. I mean, that in of itself is such a huge problem of just getting to lift in the Paralympics is practically impossible, especially if you're a lower income or you're not in the correct area of your country.
Okay.
There's a lot of, or in the incorrect country in general, but I get that doesn't really apply here. But in order to even see a doctor regarding Paralympics and in order to even complete your application, like your chances of lifting with this organization are higher.
Okay.
But yeah. At the same time, that doesn't make it more inclusive.
No, they're not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the idea just because there's a lot more local USAPL meets. And,
okay. You
know, you want to compete with your friends that are also competing in USAPL. On the state level, too, we've got state champs. And I believe the Parabench takes you on to nationals as well. You just don't have the ability to compete in international meets through IPF, which is, you know, the umbrella for USAPL. That's where they stopped. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to add you to our federation, yet you can't be competitive past this limit.
Well, and I think the idea was at least you'd get recognized and then you could possibly get the financial backing to actually pursue Paralympics, but they... Like literally, if you were to Google inclusivity and IPF or inclusivity and Paralympics, you would realize that that's not a good, like you could Google it and see just how many athletes are being discriminated against.
Yeah, it's not popular.
And
yeah.
Okay. But that makes sense though. Cause I live in an area where I think sometimes I take that for granted where literally every federation exists except for maybe like UPA or something. Like I could find an RPS meet, I could find a USAPL meet, I could find a USPA meet, I could find an unsanctioned meet, I could find anything. When you put it that way, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. At least now they could go somewhere if that's all there was around them. Like, okay, all right, I get it. All right, fine. Okay. And then the other one they have as far as disabilities goes is adaptive athlete, which by the way, meet directors are not required to offer the adaptive athlete division. Adaptive athletes must be approved by USAPL, and also records and rankings will not be maintained.
You just get a little medal for paying us, what is it, $75 just to
get. Yeah, is there a discount? Is there an adaptive
You get a participation trophy. Come on, yeah. Isn't that all you want in life is a participation trophy? Because, I mean, you're disabled, so do you really want to actually participate?
But here's the thing that pisses me off is like, let's say somebody like, let's say Chloe's not here, but let's say someone like Chloe wants to be able to use her strap for that hand. She's fucking top three in the world, right? So her records and her rankings wouldn't count because she would be forced in USAPL to do adaptive. They wouldn't let her in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's if we're adaptive athletes, we're not worthy? Like what?
Well, and that's even if her local organization lets her lift.
Yeah,
right? If the promoter wants her to lift.
Wants to.
Yeah.
Wants to put in the work.
Oh my God.
But there's, I mean, another thing about USAPL, regardless of these categories, is their enforcement of all of the equipment, right? There are so few equipment that's allowed in the IPF, USAPL. So, I mean, the thing for me and Chloe as well, because I worked with her when I was talking to local meet directors, there's a technical director, the president, and then on to IPF, is that our adaptive equipment needs to be approved. Her using a strap, that's seen as cheating, even though she's missing a few fingers, you know, because they're seeing it in comparison to the able-bodied athlete and how this, rather than, you know, what's it called? Rather than
an extension of her arm.
Yeah, like, or just like extra. Leveling the playing field rather than leveling the playing field since she's missing a few fingers and can't grip on a deadlift. That's seen as an advantage for the adaptive athlete. Like, where do accommodations come into play in these sports? They don't. They don't exist. Instead, they're like putting us back into this corner and saying, okay, you can go play over there. Yet we haven't even discussed the equipment. Like, I can't use my hook because they said it was it was too dangerous for the athletes and spotters and coaches involved.
So does that mean in the hypothetical world, if you were in the adaptive athlete division, you'd be allowed to use whatever you want, or what? What does it even say?
It says,
And then the other thing is, like you said about equipment, like not just the equipment, like the brands, especially once exactly. you get to nationals.
Loud?
Because in USAPL, it's like that. I don't know about everyone else, but in USAPL, it has to be like this brand, this brand, this brand. These are approved. Like, no, exactly. You can't do that. Like, are they?
Well, the
do that
hilarious thing is, there's just not that many brands that make decent shit either.
I know.
So. What are they going to do? Be like, oh, you have to buy this one strap, because like my hooks, the hook that I used to use, I gave up and bought them off of Wish. So they wouldn't be approved in our make-believe probably what's going to happen world, because I couldn't afford the current hooks, the better hooks. Like, how does that make any sense?
Yeah. Well, I think what they're saying is like, you can compete in this division, and I'm reading one of the rules now, and it says any reasonable slash practical accommodations that can be made will be made, and it applies to the actual lifts and weigh-in. So if we were to present them with what we use in training, shit that we've used in other divisions who didn't even question it, USPA, thank you, then they would create that accommodation for us. The thing is, we can't use that in the open category.
Well, the funny thing is you talked about weigh-ins, and that's something that my friend Dana brought up to me. She's a, I think, below the knee amputee. They make her weigh in with her leg.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, but the leg doesn't actually count towards my weight. It shouldn't count towards my weight.
Right.
So it's all these little things that they didn't think about. And they're like, oh no, we're being fair.
And if you read it, they actually
part
created
of her equipment.
Right. Ugh. But they also created some stupid formula too about like what percentage of that missing leg should be added to your weigh-in. Have you read that?
Exactly. Well, no, I didn't. But that was the thing. One of the very few minor problems with Static Monsters was I now have to compete with a strap, an over-the-shoulder strap. The strap weighs about 5 pounds, 5-10 pounds. And that weight doesn't actually count towards your total weight. It's just counted towards your... it doesn't actually exist weight. And I'm like, but it weighs something, and we need to talk about that. We need to actually look at addressing that. If you have something that's not actually part of your body, why aren't we addressing that? And it's because we don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, we don't want to be bothered. And imagine if you're someone that's like at the cusp of a weight class and your prosthetic puts you over. Like, can you imagine?
That's
well, I mean, that goes even further to we don't have weight classes.
Oh, there's no weight classes.
Yeah. So my ass is the same weight class as yours. So yeah, me so and Mary Bob are gonna have to be lifting the same.
Yeah.
Hey.
How does that make sense?
They don't even. Oh, that's hilarious.
That's been one of the biggest complaints with Adaptive Strongman, is that there isn't a weight class, and they say it's because there aren't enough people in competing, and that's true. But that's also because there isn't an actual a class.
That's ridiculous.
For us to actually have people compete.
That is the most cop-out. And honestly, like, you, if anybody ever gives that answer, like, you are privileged as fuck. I'm sorry. And not enough people are showing up. Like, are you for real right now? Like, that's the same thing they've said about everything, about Black people being in sports, about, you know, when they first made the rules for girls to compete in high school sports. There's not enough. Like, no.
Like a positive feedback loop. Like, we're not going to change anything because there's not enough people, but there's all these barriers in place that prevent people from, you know, being able to compete in the first place. Rinse and repeat.
Exactly.
One of the big strongman corporations told me that I need to stop complaining, and I need to talk to promoters and get them to allow me to compete as a guest spot because I should feel excited. And then one of the promoters said, well, why don't you and your disabled friends just create a team? And I'm like, what do you think I'm doing in my days? Like,
how do you
we're just
think
having
life
big
works?
Adaptive strongman competitions in my backyard with all my 50 friends.
And also, it's not your job.
So I guess
it's
they think
job.
That we all just like hang out together. Yeah, it's literally their job.
It's literally
like you have one job and you want me to promote the sport where we're not still able to lift. So how am I supposed to promote this and get more people if we're not allowed to do it? But the only reason we're going to be allowed to do it is if we get enough people, but the people don't know it exists because it doesn't exist.
Well, but also you're fighting tooth and nail to make sure that, you know, your local strongman meets even include an adaptive division. So luckily you've found a few here in the Bay Area that are willing to do it, but not everybody's willing to do that. And Think about all the other states in the U.S. that are not willing to put up an adaptive division to begin with. How do we know that we exist? Because it's not promoted like from the inside.
And even in this new ruling, like meet directors are not required. So It's like, what? So if we're making this category that's kind of like a pencil it in lightly on your calendar, and then, you know, if they don't want to do it, they don't have to. Like, what is that? So you still have to jump through that loop again.
Well, and the...
What's the point of making a category and pretending to lay the groundwork? You didn't lay anything.
It's funny that you think that I found multiple ones here in the area, and it's literally only Static Monsters.
Just him, yeah. Damn.
Just the one organization. Even the local group was like, oh, we can accommodate you, but you're not an official category. So if we have a meet... we're not actually going to have a category just for you.
Cool. Who said that? Can you say so which?
It's federation? Literally one place.
Yikes! Big yikes!
Wow. Oh, Strongman Corp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but like right off the bat. Yeah, there. I have no problem in shaming them because they're the ones who actually told me, well, you need to stop complaining.
Well, they're all pretty much on the same vibe. It's like if you want this, you have to do it yourself. We're not going to do anything. And they can repackage that and reword that in whatever way sounds positive to them. But at the end of the day, that's what they're all saying. Like, I'm not doing this work. If you want disabled people, then you run a show.
But also, well, what is that?
Doesn't make sense.
No, and what is that thing saying, like, oh, get your promoter to get you on as a guest athlete, so you just put on a show for them and then also they not do be a included?
Fucking minstrels? Like, what is this, a circus?
Yeah, and then the guest promoter says, well, you're not an official category, and so we're not going to take on the liability. And I'm like, literally every athlete that's ever lifted at a competition takes on their own liability.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not on the promoter or the organization, but somehow if I was to lift, it's somehow on the, like, it could make the organization look bad.
It's fucking stupid. Everybody signs the same contract.
Yeah, everybody.
If anybody gets hurt, or if anybody throws up on the platform, pees on the platform, like, we're all the same. I mean, same thing with me. Like, they brought in their, USAPL brought in their lawyers and said that I would be a liability by using that device on the platform. But now that they're creating in this adaptive division, they're allowing it now,
so like, magically the danger is gone. Doesn't
matter anymore.
The danger's gone. Wow.
Well, and that's what the same thing happened when I tried to lift at the Arnold for a disabled strongman. One of the dudes said, well, you're not the correct kind of disabled, so we're not going to let you lift, who literally didn't even see my medical file. He was just like, no. And then the other guy, Magnus, decided that could be a problem. We just want you to lift safely. After literally seeing me lift for 3 years, he's like, you just need to prove that you can lift safely, and then blocked me on Facebook. So it's like, well, what do you guys want? Do you want us to be able to lift safely, or do you want us to be the correct kind of disabled, or like what hoops do we have to jump through? Because we're starting to feel like circus animals here.
Horrible.
Hot mess express. And then our final dumpster fire category, of course, is the MX, which is the dedicated competition space for any and all athletes, no matter how they identify. Yeah. I do have a question, though, because there's something on it that's like, they said the weight classes align with LGBT powerlifting union. Does anybody know what that is?
The union?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's I believe it's a UK-based like powerlifting organization, and they hold meets for LGBTQ folks, and I believe that they have an MX category in there. And so the weight classes are from their weight classes for the MX category. But I think that's the only thing that really is taken from
I know. LGBTQ. How does that make it? Do you want to? I don't know. Do they want a standing ovation for that? Like, why? What's their reasoning for creating a separate weight class category? Because I'm looking at it. I mean, it's the 44, 48, 52, but none of that's like.
It's. I don't know. It does seem like a little bit of a like signaling like we followed these protocols, but not like all of them. We just cherry picked them.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't.
And
that doesn't make sense. Mass is adding up.
You know, again, like TUEs for testosterone for trans masculine folks is still not allowed in USAPL. So trans men who have been on HRT or, you know, non-binary people who've been on HRT can't even be in the MX category if they wanted to. Additionally, this doesn't even solve any of the issues that have been brought forth from the trans ban because the correct answer would be to let folks compete in the categories that align with their gender. Yeah, mm-hmm. like I mentioned before, trans women are women and trans men are men, so therefore they should be allowed to compete in those categories. If you feel more comfortable competing in an MX category, I think that that would be a great option if there are not all these right hoops and barriers that make it more difficult for you to compete, because this still is not inclusive, right? It's it's essentially the cis people compete here, and you trans and non-binary and gender non-conforming folks, you have this option, but there's actually no way for you to, you know, compete higher than a state level. And there's promises of that, but it's like if someone wants to compete within their gender cat, right, like in the gender
right
that they identify as and that they are, they should do so following IOC rules or whatever is in place, because yeah, that's what
it
the
makes no sense.
IPF does. So I have no idea why they are so resistant in letting trans women and men compete in those categories. So it's like, I've never seen an MX category be so gender uninclusive. I don't even know how to describe it. This is like taking the MX category and just deciding that you get to make up all these rules when the whole point of the MX category is that it's essentially like open, right? Like a true open category for anyone who feels confirmed in that, like affirmed, sorry, in that category.
So exactly. It essentially, it's like there's levels to it. It's number one, it's just segregation, right? Like it's just like this is a whites only fountain, this is the blacks only fountain. Like it could be that simple. And also possibly they don't even fucking understand the difference, like trans, non-binary, like maybe they don't even get it, because even when you go on the FAQ for the MX category, it's like, why is there a separate category for trans athletes that's on the FAQ? Like, you guys are missing the point of what these words actually mean. So like you said, Val, like they went to somebody's website or they talked to whoever it was at that powerlifting union. And I don't know what they actually heard, because what they're doing has nothing to do with what's going on over there.
Well, and something I think that we should probably elaborate on, because I know there's a lot of people who don't fully understand. When it comes to the whole idea of testing and the whole idea of, like, especially because everybody comes back to the testosterone aspect, is there anything that they're talking about really other than testosterone? And what would the threshold be? Because I mean, like with something like PCOS, our testosterone varies too, maybe not to the same extent, but does that mean that people who have PCOS need to start lifting in these categories, if that's what you're going to call it? Because I also saw that they're talking about, for both adaptive and the MX category, they're talking about drug testing type stuff and talking about what kind of medications we're on. And some of the people that I know with adaptive problems have, we're on some pretty good drugs. And are you guys going to start going into our history and looking at our heart medications? And are we going to start talking about like muscle relaxers and blood doping and everything? Like, did they even think about this? Like, there, I mean, when you get to older men, some of the guys are taking testosterone. Are we going to start really addressing all of these medical issues too?
Not even like, close.
Or are we just using it as an excuse to start discrimination?
It's not even close. They're just going by the therapeutic use exemptions where you could beg and plead for them to allow things, but there's still a list of things that are just flat out no's.
Yeah, testosterone is a flat out no. You know, TRT for cis men who have lower testosterone levels, that's a no. So they're like, it's a historical precedent that to not allow TUEs for testosterone. So then therefore it also includes folks who need to take it, are going through HRT and are medically transitioning.
How does that make sense?
And honestly, even right, if we're talking about cis folks who take testosterone, it's a little bit ableist, and actually it's ableist, not even a little bit, but like, it's like this assumption that, right, people may be using it as a way to, right, cheat or to get a boost or whatever. And it's like, there may be people who do that, you know, and that's the fact, that's a fact. But for people who are doing it because like there is a medical need for it, just assuming that someone is getting this prescription to, you know, to get ahead or to dope or whatever, is ableist. And it's this mentality that you're going to be abusing something that for a lot of people is a life-saving prescription. And we can go on, you know, for other types of prescriptions.
Prednisone's on that list. Like, really? Who with a chronic
illness? I kind of need that to live.
Is not on prednisone. Like, they hand that out like Skittles. Like, what's up? All right, here, prednisone. Like, yeah.
Well, and what I don't understand is, so you get all these people who are like, well, obviously, you're just going to have men lifting in the women's category, and they're just going to take medication so that they could get stronger. And I'm like, who is going to go through all of that work to lift in your stupid, petty little organization? Like, seriously?
Yeah. Who are
seriously?
You?
Seriously? Well, that's like, it's so crazy because there are websites on websites, articles misgendering current athletes right now who are trans, non-binary, and gender non-conforming. But like, this whole idea that we need to save women's sports, save girls' sports fair, to protect.
Fair, blah, blah.
And how we constantly have to reiterate that, you know, trans girls, trans women are women. And who of all the women in powerlifting are fighting against, you know, including trans women in our sports? No one that I know of.
And how long have times it's white dudes?
Yeah. And exactly. How long have trans folks been in the Olympics? Like, there's not a clean sweep. Like, just pretty okay. Calm down. Like we're not, nobody's out here taking all the number one spots in anything in the Olympics, and trans folks have been there for how long? I think people really don't realize what it means at all to go through the medical transition at all.
And it just opens the door. They think you just like change your shirt and that's it.
Yeah.
It just opens the door for dudes to be like, well, see, we're just not equal. And, you know, women just lift less than men. And I'm like, no, like, definitely they're like, not. Well, you don't see any of the women lifting those 1,000+ pounds like Thor is lifting. And I was like, I don't see you doing it either, bro.
Yeah, that's the measure, right? Some bullshit, don't make no sense. So if you, I mean, God, imagine this is supposed to be, hold on, I gotta read the line that made me cringe. Hold on. This is supposed to be, and I quote, more competition space for everyone, right? That's what they say. That's what USAPL says. It's going
to
be a greater
to the white dudes.
Uh-huh. It's going to be a true microcosm of our great country. And even through our differences, we remain family. It is what makes the sport of powerlifting so great. Bitch, if I was trans and disabled, where would I go?
think I just threw up in my mouth.
Imagine. I'm a trans woman. Where do I go? I want to compete in the open. I got a hook. Where do I go? None of that represented me as a person. Like, what?
It's just, and just like the fact that trans men are just not allowed to compete at all.
Just ugh.
Like, trans men on HRT.
On HRT.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, because some people, right, choose not to go on HRT, and that's fine. And that's the right, like that's mm-hmm. the way that they best present themselves in the world. And a lot of folks, though, right, they are on HRT, and so that's very limiting. And it's essentially because USAPL is like one of the largest federations, it may totally be possible that it's one of the few organizations that are in your area, right? So then it comes to if you are just getting into powerlifting, it may be very overwhelming to think about like, well, if I wanted to compete, like, what does this mean for me? And the reality is that no one should have to worry about like what medication they're on in order to compete. Because if it's prescribed, then obviously like you're visiting, you're doing blood work, you're doing tests, like you're working with medical professionals who are indicating that it's safe for you to do that. And it's providing a way to, you know, relieve gender dysphoria and all these issues. And just to have these kinds of rules set out to say, well, sure, you can be trans, but only if you follow these guidelines. Like the whole point is that there are no guidelines to being trans, gender non-conforming, or non-binary.
Don't make no sense.
It doesn't. To me, but like when I read these, I truly don't think that there were folks who understand trans inclusion in sports who were at the table. I know that JC Cooper and Brianna Diaz from Pool for Pride and the Women's Strength Coalition have worked to develop trans inclusive policies for USAPL, and they have not been implemented. Right?
Denied. Kind of
like, Chrisandra, who was like, I'll write these rules, right? Like these rules can be written out to be affirming, but instead it's like, we are telling you what is best for our organization. And it doesn't include you. It's, you know, flat out, that's what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
When you see these rules.
The way that they're unrolling is pretty obvious too, right? Like this is supposed to be the microcosm of our great country, but yet there's no forum for these things. There's no, you know, I mean, maybe we have
they to turn off comments too on they their turn off comments on their posts.
Well, maybe we need to find someone that's actually a member. I don't know. Maybe there was member only shits going on behind the scene. I wouldn't know. I haven't been a member in ages.
Well, what I'm still trying to figure
publicly,
out.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. From day one, what I've been trying to figure out is why did they release these, especially these two big, the gender and the adaptive together? Because no matter what we do, our attention is going to be divided. So there's no way that both of these, like both of our arguments are going to get the full attention that it needs, because we're having to divide our attention between these two huge things, and they just kind of threw them both together so that neither of them gets the full argument and the full attention that they actually need. They're like, here's both of them. Now you decide which one's more important to argue against and which one's more important that we need to change.
That's why it's important that we, you know, get folks who are from the adaptive athlete camp and the trans and non-binary gender non-conforming camp, as well as people, maybe there are folks who want to be involved who, right, and have the intersecting identities, and people with experience in inclusion, both right in the adaptive and trans inclusion in sports, to come together and build these policies, right? Because at least to me, I'm hopeful that like if we have more people at the table with these intersecting identities and the experience to push forward for more inclusive policies, we could definitely tackle both of them. But I agree. I think that, right, there's so many issues wrong, it is very like so many issues with these categories. Like, where do we even start?
And I feel like they did that on purpose. They did that so that our attention is divided. Which one do we address first?
I'm going to say the flip side. They did it on purpose because they care so little about it. Like, I don't even think
right.
The amount of thought that you just put into it was at least entirely too long. Like, it was just like, just lump that in. We'll make them happy. Fuck them. Anyway, yeah. So really, but the Raw with Raps is what we're happy about. All right, great. Release.
Yeah.
But I understand. How did they get the Raw with Raps correct? I just keep going back to that.
It's I'm telling you, this is how it went down, right? Somebody was like, yo, Chad, we need some new categories, some more members. And they were like, all right, Brett, say less. I'm gonna go World Paralympics. What can I copy? Got a category. Great. What does everybody like about USAPA World of Apps? Copy that. Got two more. What else can I do? Okay, Carrie, come over here. What have you got?
They were losing too much money last year. They lost too much money.
That's all it came down. Like, everything that they've done has copied somebody else, and poorly.
Yeah,
and then it's like the school project that's like the shittiest poster in the corner.
Seriously,
like,
it's a Wikipedia project.
Yeah, it's a Wikipedia project. Like, they didn't even cut out like the link in the pictures when they printed it out. Like, it's that bad.
Well, and like, one of the things is like, IO psychology exists, market research exists. It's literally do this with a survey.
They don't care.
Okay, bottom line, you know, they're doing this on a legal standpoint, right? I mean, I already had lawyers sending memorandums to their office. And the reason why we can't file a full lawsuit, shit, I've been thinking of a class action lawsuit for a long time, all adaptive, all, you know, gender nonconforming, non-binary athletes to sue their asses. But now that they've created this more inclusive, quote unquote, inclusive category, they're creating a more like, quote, like, I don't know, it's just, it's a little more accessible, but it's not equitable.
And well, that's, and that's, they're the also difference. Yeah, they're also going to be able to say, well, see, we gave you these categories and you're still not happy.
Yeah,
right. True. But it's also like, okay, we're letting you play
on paper,
but you're gonna sit in the fucking corner and not get any medals or trophies, or, you know, they're not gonna get shit from it.
Yeah, we're inclusive, but not really.
It's like all the companies that make, you know, after the Me Too movement, people that like up their sexual harassment policies, right? Or like after June and George Floyd, everybody's like, we got DEI committees now. But like, on paper, those things sound great. But like, honestly, mm-hmm. half of that shit means nothing, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. Like, yeah. One of the nonprofits I used to work for was like, we have a huge huge diversity and inclusion group, and we meet all the time and we discuss policies within our organization. And I was like, oh, I would love to be a part of that. You know, I'm Mexican, bi, and I'm disabled. And they're like, oh, we don't need you. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Sounds about right. There's one for, so the Physical Therapy Association started that up, right? DEI, everything. And somebody approached me, was like, oh, we're the adaptive athlete like club within the Physical Therapy Association. Do you want to be our DEI chair? I'm like, yeah, cool. What do I have to do? And they're like, oh, you just got to get some membership. Well, you know, it's just a measly $550. Oof. Hey, guys, do you guys have sliding scales, scholarships? No, but we'll think about it.
We just want you as our token, but you got to be able to afford.
But you have to pay. You have to pay to be here to do this volunteer position, though.
Volunteer position.
Yeah, I have to pay for a membership to be able to take that volunteer position. Like on paper, it sounds great. Diversity and equity, yeah. Committees, yeah, we meet. But like, a black person can't even get on the committee. Like, what are you doing?
God damn.
Oh, man. I think the moral of the story is, what Crescenda said, they don't give a shit. They're just throwing it, right? What Mary Beth said, this is a great on-paper cover-your-ass-for-lawsuits thing. And like Val said, we could do better. We're out here. Like, it's not that hard. I think that's the too-long-didn't-listen version.
Sheesh. Seriously, just ask us.
Just ask. We're here.
Ask.
We got it. We're ready to go.
We're volunteering.
We got the
PowerPoints. Just don't make us pay a $600 membership.
Yeah. Some bullshit. Okay. Well, That's, I think that'll do. I don't know. You guys have any other takes on
that we missed? Really ending on a positive note here.
I gotta go draw a bath and drink a glass of
bubbly. I'm sticking to my New Year's resolution, which is the same every year: stay petty. So we're doing great. We're doing great. This aligns with my. This is aligning with me. This is great.
I mean, okay, we're laughing about it. People who are listening are probably cringing and feeling bad for us because this is just, this is what we have to deal with on a daily fucking basis. And we're just, luckily we're adults kind of, and are kind of used to this shit, but.
Yeah, but we shouldn't be.
Let's check in a little bit. Is everybody doing okay? I don't want to end this episode on a more depressive note than these categories already are.
I feel like if everybody doing okay is an even more depressive note.
No, that's probably worse. I'm gonna say that it is very, again, you know what, here we go, that's another obsession with a binary. I can be upset about this and excited about eating pancakes later, right? Yeah. I can do both. It's not either or. I'm not angry all day long. So
I'm angry all day long.
Okay, well, for Sunday. I tried to save you, son of a.
There's no saving me. Can I have some pancakes?
No, but I mean, honestly, like when these things pop up, there are, it's especially, we're already stressed about COVID, real shit, right? Like it's, just turn it off. That's what I'm doing. Just turn it off. Just unplugging. Just logging out, closing Instagram, uninstalling this and that app when I need to, because sometimes it is a lot.
Yeah, and for the people who think that we're laughing, we're not laughing. Like, we're only laughing because we have to. There's nothing else we can do about it right now. And it's, we're not being performative and we're not laughing it away. It's, our hands are tied. And what else are you going to do? Sit here and cry about it or continue to raise voices and try and move forward as lightly as we can without it really affecting our day to day.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting, y'all. Like we've fought tooth and nail for little shit, like being able to compete. And sometimes we got to take a whole year or two off of fighting because it's just, it's so hard. Or compete with a federation that's truly inclusive and listens to you. For the time being, but we are still fighting. I'm not going to quit on this. Neither should you.
No.
And I really appreciate all the, you know, advocates, all the allies that are reaching out to us. You know, the minute that it hit, and just these conversations that we're having with the othered categories, because we do need to get together. We are the biggest freaking minority in the world.
Well, and they're forcing us to get together. I think that was their biggest mistake, is releasing everything together. Mm-hmm. Now they have completely forced us to bind together. And that was probably a huge mistake on their part, because together we are fucking amazing.
Definitely. Hard agree. Disabled Girls out.
Thanks for listening to Disabled Girls Who Left. We appreciate all of your support and everyone who's taken the time to show us some love. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, or write a review of our channel. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Google Podcasts, and more. You can also find us on Instagram @DisabledGirlsWhoLift.